I'm your host, Benjamin Levesse, and for the next 45 minutes or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for our fifth episode of Fiber Hooligan. Yay! Five episodes. I'll be happy when we get to 105, if I survive it. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am, I'm the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from our offices here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Before I get to my guest today, I'd like to thank you all again for your very positive emails and messages, and especially this last week. It's been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed listening to them. I get a little stressed out just before a show, and it's nice to read just fun, complimentary things. So I do appreciate it. And, of course, I'd like to thank you all for giving me the time with you today. My guest today, and I want to get right to it, is a very good friend of mine. She is a very talented designer. She's a wonderful teacher. She's an amazing podcaster, and she is one of the hardest working entrepreneurs I know. She is one of the most positive and energetic and creative people in our industry. I'm speaking, of course, of Marley Bird. Marley joins us from Denver, Colorado this morning. Good morning, Marley, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Benjamin. How are you?
Well, it's always a good day. Monday's a good day. People give Monday a bad rap.
Monday is good because the kids are back in school and I can focus on things that don't pertain to just, you know, containing the children, because sometimes it's like herding cats when they're at home on the weekend or running around to different sporting events. It's crazier on the weekend than during the week.
Well, it sounds to me like you didn't have much of a weekend anyway. It sounds to me like you were working.
My husband and I, we're trying real hard to get our house ready to get on the market. And so all weekend long it was from sunrise to sunset, you know, and a little bit past sunset, just working on the house. But it's almost there, so yay.
And so you're going to list it when?
Well, you know, why not list it Wednesday when I leave Thursday for a big trip? I mean, I think
of course.
That's a little bit in Marley does. World, that's like plenty of time.
Well, I wish you luck on that, and, you know, it's going to be great seeing you soon. I was actually getting nostalgic last night going through my notes for today's show, and I was thinking about when we first met. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Do you want me to tell the story?
Yes, tell the story, please.
It was actually one of my first trips to the TNNA summer show, or not summer show, but I guess they call it the winter show in January, and we were going to Long Beach. And it was the first time I'd ever, actually I didn't know this, the first time I'd ever gotten on an airport shuttle. And I went to get on and the shuttle was packed. There was only one space left. And those of you out there who don't know, I'm not exactly a small girl. And I happened to actually say that to the shuttle driver. I was like, really, do you think I could fit there? Plus I have all this luggage. He goes, no, we'll get you in. So I squeeze into this van and I sit next to this man who just is, in my brain I'm thinking he's going, oh dear God, here we go. I have to sit next to this large girl. But it was really such a wonderful trip because I got to sit next to you and I had never met you before and you introduced yourself and we exchanged business cards and I just kind of chatted with you the whole trip trying just to be comfortable. And I found out later on that you have claustrophobia real bad, right?
Very bad. And it was one of those shuttles that was six rows back. There was no door or window that would open next to me. And I was having a kind of a panic attack, and you just kept talking to me and making me forget about the fact that I was losing my mind.
What I thought was funny was then we were at TNNA, and it felt like I kept running into you, and then you were doing something with Bijou Basin Ranch, and I was going to mind their booth while they were gone, and it's like you walked over, and you're all, oh, you're here too. It's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things that all of a sudden our paths kept crossing, and, you know, I liked you, you liked me, and the rest is history.
It is. It is. I'm glad we met. It's been a wonderful time. Yeah. And I get to see you in 2 days. Are you all packed? You're not packed yet because you've spent the whole week.
Oh, heck no. I've got time for that. I'll pack Wednesday night for a flight that leaves 6 a.m. Thursday morning.
For our listeners who don't know why we're getting to see each other again, we're going to Stitches South in Atlanta this week. Are you excited about the show?
I love Stitches. I love Atlanta, especially. All the knitters and crocheters down there are always so kind and just, you know, bless your heart and cute as a bug's butt. I mean, I love them. So, yeah, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, last year I got "You're cute as a bug's ear." Well, number one, I didn't know bugs had ears. And number two, I wasn't too sure if they're cute, if they do have them. But I took it. I took it. Well, let's get on with the show. It's very nice to have you on the show. I've been on your show a couple of times, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. And, you know, when people are on your show, you always talk about them. And so when I'm on your show, you always talk about me. And I'm really excited to have the chance to talk about you, because you have not been on a lot of podcasts before, and you've never gotten the chance to really, you know, tell us all about Marley. And I know about you, and I really want my listeners to know about you, too. So let's start out and give our listeners a little background and history about you. Will you please tell us about yourself and how and when you got into the world of knit and crochet wear design?
All right. Well, in 1999, my grandfather passed away of lung cancer. And in the time that he was really ill, I switched schools from the University of Colorado to Colorado State University. Those of you who don't know, I was actually a thrower. I used to throw the shot put and the discus and the hammer in college. So I transferred schools, and in that time, that's when my grandpa was sick, so my grandmother never got a chance to come and see my place until grandpa passed away. So I invited her up. Let's see, it was October of 1999, and I took her to dinner, and I didn't know what to do afterwards, and I just was like, okay, she doesn't bowl, she doesn't want to go to the bar, you know, I mean, she's in her 80s, and so I told her, Grandma, I want you to teach me how to crochet. So we went to that world-famous yarn store called Walmart, and I got a hook and a book and some Red Heart yarn, and we went back to my condo, and right there, she taught me how to do the chain stitch and a single crochet, and I was, you know, not to use a pun, but I was hooked instantly. I became just absolutely obsessed with it, and I started looking online, and that's when the internet was really starting to take off, and I found a couple of websites that talked about how to crochet and do different stitches, and I just kept teaching myself more and more and more, and I just loved it. What I find funny is I just made lots of blankets. Like, it never even occurred to me that I could work 5 inches on a blanket and call it a scarf. And so here I was making these huge queen-size single crochet afghans, and I didn't need to do that. I know, it's crazy. And given my history in sports, I've always been an athlete. I'm very competitive. And when my friends all started to learn to crochet and started trying out different things, I would look at them and I'd say, oh, well, I could do that. Oh, and I would try it. And then, oh, I could do that. And so I really have to give them a lot of credit for the advancement of my skills, because as they learned more, I wanted to be better than them. So I learned more. So, I mean, that's my life. And I got married, I had kids, and I kept crocheting all along through there. And when I started seeing more and more knit projects out there, and I realized that I really wanted to learn to knit, so I tried to learn to knit for one of my best friends named Jill Wright, who we wrote the book Curvy Crochet together. And she is from England, and she knits Scottish, where she puts the needle underneath her armpit. And so she tried to teach me that way, and I really struggled with it. I was like, there's got to be an easier way. So my pastor's wife actually said to me, you're a crocheter. Why don't you let me show you how to do this way? And she showed me how to knit continental, and it was very easy for me to learn from then on. So she taught me how to do the knit stitch and the purl stitch, and then from there I taught myself everything else. So I never took any classes. And it wasn't because I didn't want to take classes. I didn't know they were available. Then I didn't even know there were yarn shops until, about 8 years ago. I didn't realize there was something other than Walmart. Like, that's just where I went, was just Walmart. When I found out there were actual places called yarn shops, I mean, it was like I found my Mecca. I would walk in, and I would get so excited. And I don't know about all of you out there, but when I get excited, I have to go to the bathroom. So I would get into the store. About a quarter of a way through the store, I'm like, okay, I have to go to the bathroom. And so I go to the bathroom, and I go back out, and I get a look at the rest of the store. I just get so excited. I mean, it's just something about the fiber and the needles and the hooks. And it just gets me. So at the time, I was making Fun Fur scarves, because Fun Fur has some sort of a fix on me. Like, all that novelty, sparkly stuff, oh, my gosh. I mean, it calls to me. And I was making them for some men that I worked with. I was a financial planner at Northwestern Mutual. And a lot of the men there had, you know, wives for Christmas that they wanted to buy things for, but they wanted handmade stuff. So I was making scarves for them. And I really enjoyed it. And I felt like I was supposed to do something in this industry. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if I wanted to own a yarn shop. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to do something. So I left the world of finance, came home to be a stay-at-home mom, and from there I just started reading different blogs, and so then I started a blog. And, you know, when you start blogs, you comment on other people's blogs trying to get traffic. And so I happened to comment on this woman's blog. Her name is Lane. And I won a prize, and I gave this, you know, really kind of funny acceptance speech of the prize. And she wrote me, and she said, "You're really funny. You should try doing a podcast." And I said, "Okay." And I had no clue what a podcast was at the time. I actually Googled it. I said, "What's a podcast?" And, excuse me, mypodcast.com came up. And I started a podcast, and my very first show was the mass accumulation of "Here I Go Down the Rabbit Hole, Who Wants to Join Me?" That's all I said on the very first show. And from there, one thing led to another, and now I'm designing, and I'm creative director for Beachy Basin Ranch, and I have the podcast still, and then I'm traveling around the country teaching with you guys. And, I mean, it's just, it's been quite the adventure, let me tell you. How's that for a story, huh?
That's a great story. That's fantastic. And just to step back, what did you do in the finance world?
I sold insurance and investments.
Okay. And yeah. And was this one of those things where there was a transition period where you were sitting in meetings and knitting and crocheting? Did you have that sort of thing happening to you?
I did have that. I was in a big meeting one day, and there were all of these men around me reading newspapers and magazines. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to sit and I'm going to crochet. And I was taking notes, and I, you know, everything I could. And my boss actually called me in his office after the meeting and said I was disrupting everybody and I was being disrespectful of the speaker because I was crocheting, even though I was keeping notes. And all everybody around me, they were, I mean, literally, the Wall Street Journal was out in front of them. They weren't hiding it or anything. Like, it was like full blown. This is boring. Why am I here? And I was the one that got in trouble. That was my kind of my last straw, and so to speak. That was where I just kind of said to myself, I'm not in the right industry. I'm not supposed to be here. And like it was a bone deep feeling, Ben. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it's just one of those things where you know you're supposed to be doing something else. And so I followed my heart, and I've been with God's grace been very successful, and I'm thankful, very thankful.
Well, this is where you belong. I mean, it's obvious to all of us, the people that know you. But let's step back and talk about your design work. You do both knit and crochet designing. Let's talk about some of the people you have designed for.
Okay. Like what, companies and stuff?
Companies and publications, yes. Just give a little bit of your resume there.
Well, let me jump back even a little bit further and say when I jumped into designing, I had just done little things here and there just on my own. I never wrote anything out. But I knew that it was something I wanted to pursue. So when I submitted my very first designs and they got picked up, I was, you know, over the world excited. I mean, my first design that I submitted was a pair of fingerless gauntlet kind of gloves for interweave crochet, and they got picked up. And then I designed a hat and scarf for Knit Simple magazine, and they got picked up. And from there, I was like, okay, I can do this. And so I just started sketching and swatching and doing all sorts of things and sending stuff out. Now, let me premise this with, I had never made a sweater in my life, crochet or knit. I'm not even followed anybody else's pattern before. And I'm, you know, here I am sketching out sweater designs, and I'm submitting them places thinking, okay, if it gets picked up, I'll learn how to make a sweater. So I meet this wonderful company called Bijou Basin Ranch, and I submit some designs to them, and they pick up a sweater. And I said to myself, okay, let's learn to make a sweater. So my very first sweater I ever knit or designed or anything was called the Sweetheart Tunic, and I did it for Bijou Basin Ranch. And so from there, my relationship with them has grown extensively. But I work with BBR, and then I work with the wonderful people over at Collage. I just love Susie and Mark. I love Jeannie at Fiesta, Jeannie and Amy. Gosh, who else do I work for? I work for several different magazines, Crochet Today, Creative Knitting, Love of Knitting, Love of Crochet. I've done some stuff for knitters, interweave crochet, knit theme. Oh, gosh, I'm sure I'm missing some. But, you know, just about any, most of the companies out there I've done a little bit of work for. I try and work for magazines that I actually pick up and read and companies that I really enjoy their yarn. I work with a lot of companies there, Universal Yarns and Premier Yarns. I've done some work with Deborah Norville. one of the biggest things that was awesome for me was I got connected with Debbie Stoller when her yarn line first came out through Candy Jensen. And I was the project manager for the first 13 patterns for Debbie Stoller's new yarn line. And so that was huge for me. That was a huge vote of confidence from Candy Jensen to actually pass my name on like that, which was it was quite humbling. It was awesome. So I kind of work for a lot of people. I joke around. I say I pimp myself out.
There's nothing wrong as long as people are getting good value, Marley. Just
exactly.
Just nothing wrong with exactly. that. So when you design, what are you trying to do? When you think about your designs and your themes and your sensibilities, do you find yourself drawn, or maybe I should say drawn back to a particular way of approaching design?
You know, because I wasn't officially taught any specific way to design, I try and design a lot of things that I would like to wear. And if I were to describe my design aesthetic, I would say I'm very much like J. Jill or Coldwater Creek kind of style. Does that, I hope that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Very comfortable, casual. Yeah, I'm not going to be the person that's going to come out and have a really great brand new technique and awesome way of doing stuff. I mean, I might have a hit or miss here and there, but that's not who I am, and I know I'm not good at that. But I try and design a lot of things that I would like to wear or I think look good on certain people. So that's kind of where I am.
Okay, great. Well, before you talked about Bijou Basin Ranch, and as you said before, you're the creative director for those folks.
Yeah.
You work closely with Carl and Eileen, who are awesome people.
Yes.
And what you're doing for them. What is that collaboration like on an ongoing basis? Because, especially when I'm around Carl, I can't stop laughing. I mean, it's got to be amazing.
You know, I adore Carl and Eileen, and they're more than just my bosses to me. They're very much my family. Carl and I met, actually, kind of to go back. I know I'm jumping back and forth, but I hope that's okay. When I decided I was going to be a designer, I contacted all of my family, and I kind of said, hey, will you sponsor me to go on this trip to TNNA? Because I was told by Drew Imborski, after a podcast episode that I interviewed him, that he said, if you want to do something in this industry, you have to go to TNNA. So, and TNNA was like 2 weeks away. So I contacted all of my family, and I said, will you sponsor me to go on this trip? So I went on the trip to TNNA, had a wonderful time, met a lot of people, and on my flight home, we were redirected to Dallas to refuel. And so this man came up from the back of the plane and said to me and my friends that I was with, he asked us if we were at TNNA, and asked us why he didn't see us at his booth, and we were just like, where is your booth? And it was Carl. And he was telling us all about Yak Yarn, and I gave him my card, and I said, I would love to do something with your yarn. And it was the weekend after that, there was the Estes Park Wool Festival here in Colorado, and I went up there with my family, and he was there with his wife, because I hadn't met Eileen at that point. Carl was the only one on the plane. And he remembered me, and he gave me some yarn, so that was the first time, that's when I started swatching, and that's when I go back to the sweater story that I told earlier. Well, from there, Carl and Eileen and I just became really close. Like, our personalities really mesh well. And if you haven't met Carl and Eileen, they are, Carl's a riot. And so doing anything with Carl, you just have to automatically plan at least 2 or 3 hours, because you'll spend maybe 30 minutes to an hour actually working, but then you kind of, just talk and converse and, I don't know, you have a good time. Like, it's wonderful. Working with them has been, I'm going to tear up. It's been a true treasure, because I almost quit in this industry 3-4 years ago because I wasn't making ends meet. And my husband sat down. He goes, I know you're really trying and you're trying to make it work, but I just can't see how we can keep doing this. And I went to Carl and Eileen, and I was just talking to them as my friends. Like I said, they're my friends. And they said, we can't let you leave. You've got to be here. We've got to keep you here. And that's when they had talked amongst themselves. And they're like, you already do everything we want you to do as far as a creative director. Why don't we put you on the payroll? And by them putting me on the payroll allowed me to make my car payment, which allowed me to stay in the industry. So they're huge in my life. They're huge. So working with them has been It's been fantastic. I'm sorry, this probably wasn't the turn you were expecting, but I don't know. I love their yarn. I love working with them. I love their Carl has the best marketing ideas out there. I love just watching his brain work. Eileen, if you don't know much about Eileen, she actually was an R&D head of R&D for OxiClean before it was, you know, purchased by other companies. And like they're wicked smart, and it's such a great time. I find myself so lucky whenever I get to meet with them and talk business and yarn and just planning out future designs and future yarn lines and colors. And it's a lot of fun. So I really enjoy working with them a lot. So there you go. There's a whole lot of information for you.
No, it's exactly great, because if you've not had the Carl and Eileen experience, you really can't define it well. I mean, you have to admit that. I had my first real experience with them at a TNA in Long Beach, where I think you were with us, and it was Molly and you, and the next morning my sides hurt, and I realized it's because I'd been laughing so hard the night before, and you had not warned me about that, but you know, and I will get even for that eventually, don't worry.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say they're amazing. Their richness of life, they're intense, they're smart, they know what they want, they go get it. I mean, they're extremely supportive. They're, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, I can't say enough good things about them. You know what I mean?
Yep, that's okay. You don't have to.
Awesome.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about you as a teacher. Besides being one of the very best instructors we have at Stitches, teaching both knitting and crochet classes, you also teach at Crassy.com. And, you know, I know you're in the same town and everything, but how did that all come about? How did you make that introduction?
Oh, gosh. You know, I can think a lot of things to to the podcast, because I met Stephanie Jappel through an interview on the podcast, and we became friends because she is just wonderful. I say that about a lot of my guests, but in all honesty, like, she really is one of my good friends, and we became friends just through talking. So when she came up here to do a class for Crafty and then decided, you know, she wanted to come up here and actually work for Crafty, I went to the office to take her to lunch, and she introduced me to the acquisitions editor person at the time, and one thing led to another, and they offered me the chance to teach two classes, the knitting class, which is called Curvy Knits, and the crochet class, which is called Curvy Crochet. And so from there, I just started a really wonderful relationship with everybody over at Crafty. They're a wonderful company. I am lucky enough that they are local to me, so I am able to go over there to see them. But, I mean, I haven't met one person I don't like over there. You know what I mean? When you have in an industry that is so, I want to call it interpersonal, but we're so connected, it's nice to be able to work with other companies that you really do connect with, you really do support, you really do, gosh, I can't find the right word I want to use. Admire, that's the word. And I love working with them just on the production side, planning your classes and then going and filming them. I mean, the producers are amazing. The whole experience, I mean, it's such an experience. And everybody who's ever taught a Crafty class can attest to this. The minute you finish filming, you're ready to sign up for another class. Like, it's such a good time. And then on the flip side, I don't just teach the classes. I really do take almost all of their classes. And it's such a wonderful experience on the student side, because you do get that one-on-one interaction with the teacher. Remember when I said at the beginning I didn't take any classes, and it wasn't because I didn't want to take classes, it's because I didn't know they existed. But the minute I found out there were classes that you could take at yarn shops or at different events from teachers who really know their stuff and could really, you know, because I soak it all up like a sponge, being able to do that, and then being able to do that at home as well as when I travel to different, like Stitches or Vogue Knitting or, you know, Stock Summit, which sadly is no longer around. But all of those places, I take the opportunity to learn from these wonderful teachers, because they've got so much information. And, you know, they might write books, but you can't put everything you know in a book, and you might get this, a little glimpse of something in a class that you won't get in a book. And so being able to take the Crafty classes and get that information from these teachers from around the world is such a wonderful experience. I love Crafty. I cannot say enough good things about Crafty.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of theirs as well. Two of the classes that you teach for both Stitches and Crafty.com are your Curvy Knits and your Curvy Crochet class. I think these are amazingly important classes, and I know that they're important to you Would you mind talking about that, your motivation for developing these classes, both personally and professionally?
Absolutely. Well, as I said earlier, I am a big girl. I wear a size 18, 20. I don't mind putting it out there. I mean, once you see me, it's kind of obvious. And one of the frustrations I've always had my whole life, because I've always been a larger girl my whole life, is finding clothes that actually fit me. And so then when I started knitting or crocheting, the last thing I wanted to do was make something and spend all that time and money on a project that wasn't going to fit. So when I started looking for patterns out there for people my size, what I started to notice were patterns that were technically made for a size 2 or 4 that were upsized to a 52-inch bust. And I'm sorry, but if something's on a little 34, 36-inch bust, by the time it gets to my 52-inch bust, it's just not the same thing. You know what I mean? So my goal was to empower other knitters and crocheters to take patterns that they think will look good on them. And I'll expand on that in a minute. But find a pattern that you think will look good on you and learn how to make the adjustments that you need to make it fit you. Because even though I'm a size 18, 20, I hold a lot of my weight. I'm kind of proportionate in where I hold my weight. But I have friends who are my same size who have larger butts than I do. Or I have friends who are a 52-inch bust, but they have like a 36-inch waist. Like, well, I mean, not that dramatic. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we're all proportioned so differently that it's impossible for designers to make as many adjustments as they would need to fit everybody in the world. That's why there are, you know, off-the-rack shops, because you just have the standard. If you want something to actually fit and be tailored, you take it to a tailor. Well, one of the benefits of being a crocheter or a knitter is that you are tailoring your actual garment as you make it. So when people take my classes, I try and give them as much math and visual ways to take a pattern that they're going to like. And how do you choose the pattern you're going to like then? Just like you have your closet, you have the items in your closet that you wear all the time or the items that you think look good on you or you've been complimented on. Take those items out and find out what those measurements are. Don't completely trust what a pattern measurement says. Look at what your favorite sweater or your favorite shirt or favorite anything. What are those measurements? What are your own body measurements? Because then you have a better clue and you're not just shooting around in the dark trying to find, you know, the number one pattern on Ravelry. Oh, that's cute on those small girls, but when I make it for me, you know, it just doesn't fit right. Well, if you knew going in what the right measurements were going to be for you, half the battle's won. Do you know what I mean? So
I do.
Yeah. When I go to the Curvy Knits or the Curvy Crochet class, I always start each class off telling everybody, I mean, as we sit down there, usually it's a bunch of women I've had a couple men, but usually it's women who are larger women, and it's a very it's a very intimate, very personal class because we are talking about our body types and our weights, and it's something it's very personal to many of us. I mean, even though we go around, you can see who's larger, who's smaller, who's this or who's that, you don't literally put out there what number you are. I know I'm going to have friends. I'm sorry I keep coughing, but I have a bug in my throat.
No problem.
I have many friends where I'll be shocked that I actually gave out my own numbers on air, but you know what? If I'm not honest and tell people, look, I know where you're coming from, they're not going to be honest with themselves, too. At least that's what I think. In the class, we talk about, you know, our own measurements, what we like and don't like in our sweaters, how discouraging it is to go to a Stitch and Bitch group and you're making a sweater for yourself and somebody walks up and says, oh, are you making a blanket? And you're just like, no, it's actually the back of my sweater. I mean, I get that. I've been there. I know what that's like. And so I want to have knitters and crocheters who come in my class and say, I can only make things for my grandchildren. I can only make things for my family because I never make anything that fits me. And it's hard. I mean, it sounds so trivial with so many other things that are in the world, but it's just one of those intimate things. I mean, we all enjoy our craft. We enjoy our hobby, and we want to do things and make things that are going to look good on us, but when we don't have the knowledge or the kind of the direction to do that, I think it's very difficult. So that's what I try and do with my classes. I feel like I went around a lot of different avenues because my brain's kind of firing in all different directions.
I think you said the exact right things. You know, these classes are about empowerment, and that's something that we believe in as well.
Yeah, and people who can take my class, they know. I mean, I've said it on air before. I've said it all the time. I am not a math person. I mean, I have I have tech editors that I treasure because they look over all of my patterns to check all the math, because I just am not. But I know that the math part of it is such an important part that when you come to my class, yes, we do, you know, talk about your favorite sweater and we talk about the importance of yarn choice and gauge, but we do have to tackle math. And I try and make it as easy as possible, but it is what it is. So that's where it gets a little bit boring. But I think the camaraderie of being both in the Craftsy class and the Stitches class, being able to talk to other people who are essentially in your same boat or have the same problems. Or like I had a woman in my Stitches East class who she had a 5-inch difference measurement around her stomach when she stood up or versus when she sat down. And so in, as a class as a whole, we talked about what are some things that she could do to try and help make sweaters that would fit her better. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, that's drastic. That's a huge difference. If she makes something that fits her when she stands up, it's going to, like, be stretched all the get out when she sits down. You know, it's just, we talk about these things, and there's lots of things you don't think about as a whole because there's other people have other issues that you might not have. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense.
Okay,
yes.
So there you go. So that's my goal in my Craftsy classes and the Stitches classes, just to talk one-on-one with other people about what we like, what we don't like, and trying to give them as much information as they can on how to adjust patterns to fit them. In the crochet side of it, I always start the class saying off that I think designing crochet sweaters and stuff is one of the most difficult things ever. Like, I really have a hard time with it. And it's because adjusting a crochet stitch is not as easy as just adjusting a knit stitch because there's so many different aspects of the stitch being taller, wider, a multiple of 15 stitches instead of just one because you're talking about stitch repeats instead of a single stitch. And so in my Curvy Crochet class, we use charts a lot, and we talk a lot about how to adjust stitches, filler stitches, to make patterns fit. So that's, I mean, I think that's a really important class. And it, I don't know. I mean, to me, I think that's huge. There's not many how-to crochet sweater books out there. There's only a couple that I know of. Robin Chachula has a new one out called Blueprint Crochet Sweaters, and Dora Ornstein has one, Custom Crochet Sweaters. But other than that, that's it. There's nothing else out there. So if crocheters are wanting, crocheters in general, not just big girls, because petite girls can get a lot from these classes too, but there's no place for them really to go look. So I just try and give as much information on how I design my own or how I talk to my tech editors on how to design and do various sizing stuff with stitch patterns. So, yeah, I think my Curvy Crochet class is huge for crocheters, and I think it empowers them and it makes them understand, you know, you've got the skills to do this. Let me just give you these few little tidbits, and you're going to be on your way making, you know, amazing garments.
That's the right approach. Absolutely. I think, well, no, I mean, it is. I think you said it very well. I was just reading in the chat room. People agree. You're explaining yourself very well.
Oh, good. You know, I had a huge compliment at TNNA in January. There is a woman named Lorenza who won the design contest at CGOA last year for a vest, but it's a new way to do intarsia crochet where it's reversible. And she said she had never made a sweater or a garment or of any sort. And so she took my Curvy Crochet class on Craftsy to learn how to make a garment and then design that sweater. And now she has a book deal with Interweave.
Wow, that is an amazing turn of events.
How about that, Volta?
Yes, that's doing your job and then some
I was very honored. I mean, she's just such a wonderful person, too. I mean, it was just like, wow, really? And so it feels good because I know I'm doing something right. So, yeah.
You know what this leads me to? No, go ahead, please.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I said, you know what this lends me to think? It lends me into maybe a segue of something we should do just as a break in the show. What do you think?
I think that's perfect.
Why don't you tell them what we're going to do next, Marlon?
I would like to give away a free class, if that's all right. Is that
okay? I think that's great, and it's going to be a call-in?
I would love to do call-in, if you're cool with call-ins. Those of you who don't listen to my podcast, I love giving away prizes. And every time Benjamin comes on my show, he is like the king of prize giveaways. So I said, if I'm coming on your show, I've got to give away prizes. So
let me give you the number real quickly, folks. It is guest call-in is 718-664 9655, and I just typed it into the chat room as well. And we are going to take the second caller in to give this away.
Awesome.
And are we going to let them pick it, or do you, are you going to pick what they're going to get?
So you get to choose any one of my crafty classes. So you get a free crafty class. So you could choose Curvy Knit or Curvy Crochet or my brand new class, which is Mittens and Gloves Galore, which is fantastic. I mean, it is a kick butt class, if I don't say so myself. It's great. But they get to choose any of my classes. Absolutely.
All right. The switchboard has lit up. We have 7 calls, so I'm going to pick the second one as per what I said. Area code 847. You're on the
That's
air.
Me. Oh, my goodness. Who's
this?
This, my name is Sandy, and I have met you, and I've been Angel Mom in the chat room, so people in the chat room have been encouraging me to take your class. And I was sitting here looking at it and thinking about it, but it's just such a bad time right now in my life. We had to replace tires. My husband kind of lost his job. My dog got sick. But I really, really want to knit a sweater. I'm just, this is amazing.
Oh, well, good. I'm so thrilled.
That's
well,
wonderful.
Sandy, if you
gosh.
Do me a favor, if you
yeah.
give me an email, I'll get everything sent off to you for your free class. And my email is marley@marleybird.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm thrilled you won. Congratulations.
Hi. And thanks for
and
listening
I'll see you in today. August.
Okay. I'll see you in August. She's going to be, it sounds like she'll be at Stitches Midwest, Benjamin.
Sounds to me like that, too. That's great. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
Take care.
That's so cool. She's going to love it. She's going to, because especially if this is such a trying time and stuff, she'll be able to take the class whenever she wants just to kind of get a break. And, you know, you can never get enough Marley, so.
You can never get enough Marley. You can never get enough Marley. Well, I just feel like I can't be outdone by this. I really feel like, you know, you've given a class out for Grassy. It's probably time that I gave out a class of yours for Stitches. So I'm going to give away a class of yours for Stitches for any show in 2013 or 14.
Wow.
For
wow,
the third caller, yes, the third caller who calls in, which is 718-664-9655. Third caller. And
very
as we
cool.
wait for that, what we're talking about is, well, I mean, I suppose they could still get in it for South. They could win that, which is later this week. But we have Midwest in August. We have East in Hartford in November. And we have lit up like a Christmas tree. Okay. So I set the third caller, and it is this one. Hold on 1 second. Oops, sorry about that. I had to hang up. We were just in a vicious cycle. Sorry, area code 401. We're going to have to get you another time. So we'll go to the next one here. I'm sorry, folks. By the way, if you're ever calling into a radio show, turn off the volume of the radio show. All right.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to area code 412. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Liz.
Hi, Liz. Where are you calling from?
Hi, from Pittsburgh. And
Pittsburgh.
I love both of you.
Oh, thank you.
I just discovered Marley's podcast a few weeks ago because I'm always listening to Kathy Elkins, and she had you on the show once. So I started looking for it, and then I started listening to Marley, and then I heard that you were starting to have your own show, Benjamin. So I started listening this morning, and I listened to your show with Debbie Makeover.
Well, thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. So this is, well, great. This is wonderful. So have you ever gone to a Stitches before?
No, I haven't, and I've been dying to go.
Okay, well, here's what you're going to do. I need to get your information so that we can issue just a general credit for a class of Marley's and put you on the list so that you always get the catalog. And all you have to do is email me your information to benjamin@fiberhooligan.com.
Okay.
And
I love you both so much. And thank you so much. And Marley, you are just so much fun to listen to. And I've listened to all your old interviews. And I'm just so excited to be on the air with both of you. And thank you so much. You're so encouraging for knitters and crocheters who are just, you know, not really want to do something special. And you always encourage us to do more.
Oh, God bless you. I mean, I have a perfect grin on my face. You made me feel so good. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's lovely hearing your story, too. Thank you so much, both of you. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you at Stitches then.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Look forward to seeing you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's so cool.
That was really cool. Those are two great winners.
I'm always afraid when I give a live prize away, and you're going to, you know, it's like throwing a party, and you're afraid nobody's going to show up. So I'm grateful people are calling in. I know. They like me. They really like me.
They really like me.
I know.
Well,
funny.
You know.
Cool.
Okay. Well, let's move on for a little bit. We'll get some more prizes later. Let's talk about the things that inspire you. I know that as an knitter and crocheter designer, you get excited about other people's work. Can you tell us a few designers that you absolutely love that inspire you?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was actually one of the number one things when I started the podcast was I was so excited about talking to other designers because I just, when I get a design book or any sort of crochet or knitting book, I mentioned earlier, I soak things up like a sponge. I do. I read through them like they're novels. My number one, most favorite all-time crochet designer is Robin Chichula. And I mean, she is a good friend of mine now. I told her to her, I mean, everything she designs, I think it's just amazing. I think it's beautiful. I think she brings such a wonderful aesthetic to the whole crochet, you know, crochet to a frumpy kind of thing. She doesn't do that. Like, it's stunning. So Robin Chichula is my absolute favorite crochet designer. When it comes to knitting, it's a little bit more difficult because I'm inspired by so many different knitwear designers that I don't have one that's a favorite. What I think is interesting is when I sat down to think about my favorite knitwear designers, a lot of them can be known by just their first name. So when I say Fiona, you know, it's Fiona Ellis. When I say Nora, you know, it's Nora. When I say Nikki, you know, it's Nikki Epstein. When I say Melissa, you might not know it's Melissa Leitman just because it's just Melissa, but Melissa Leitman, I mean, I love her business sense. I love that she's a knitter and a crocheter, and she's getting it done. The woman is a workhorse, and I love that about her. I love Candy Jensen. And again, you can say Candy. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Somebody that you might not know that I love her work. I think her name is Tia Coleman. Coleman, T-H-E-A-C-O-L-E-M-A-N, Tia Coleman. I love her designs. I think she does a really good job designing. But those are the people that when I think about various designers that I enjoy, I like them. I also really like Simona Merchant Deft. I've had the pleasure of working with her a lot with Bijou Basin stuff, and I love her her attention to detail when she's designing her knitwear. I love that. So those are my favorite knitting people. If that makes sense, it's kind of funny because I mean I have other crochet designers that I respect and treasure. But you know when you think about your favorite, yeah, Robin takes the cake. She's awesome.
Well, good. We'll post links in the show notes to Robin's website as well, so people can...
But it's true, right? When they say those first names of those other people, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. you know, but I don't always think that I'm the regular listener that you are either. I mean, we walk around TNNA and we know these people, and a lot of our listeners don't know these people. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you qualified that with the names.
Yeah.
I mentioned before that I have been on your podcast and I loved it. The last time I was on your podcast, I was a fill-in. I was happy to be a fill-in. It was a fun show. And those of you who have not heard about Marley's show, it's called Yarn Thing, and it's on blogtalkradio.com/yarn thing. Same network as this. And I will make sure that I put a link to her show there. It's a wonderful show, and it's one of very few podcast that I try hard to keep up with. I mean, I may not get there on time, but I usually listen to it the same day it's posted. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got started as a podcaster? I mean, beyond, I mean, how did you really get rolling? Because eventually you had to, like, ratchet it up a notch.
Yeah. You know, at the beginning, I started to just, I didn't know what to talk about. And it wasn't until I went to a trip to see the Yarn Harlot that I kind of, I caught a groove where it was just like, you know what, I'm just going to talk about the things I like and try and interview designers and go about things that way. And so as I started getting the word out there that I was doing books, like reviewing books and interviewing designers and just kind of moving along that way, it gradually became a show that I would pre-record to a show that is just live now, where it's every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. I have a guest on the show, and we talk about what they're doing or what they've been doing in the industry. And I really enjoy it. And I try and ask all the questions that, as a listener, I would want to hear. Because, you know, once again, I soak everything up like a sponge. I want to know how Robin Tichula got into this industry from the construction world, because she was a an engineer. I want to know how Ellen Gormley got into this industry after she was a psychologist. I want to know these things. I want to know how, you know, people's backstories and how they moved forward. It's fascinating to me. And then I want to know how they got, you know, the designer bug, and how did they get their book deal, and then what have they been most impressed with in the industry, and what, you know, so on and so on and so on. So I try and approach each interview in that sense, just asking the questions that I want to know. I try and keep things very upbeat. I love giving away prizes because it just makes more fun. And so the podcast became, like I said, a weekly show, and I made it to where it was the same time every week. And then a really good friend of mine suggested that I start taking on some sponsors to help, I want to say justify the show. Does that make sense? Because it is, it's such, I mean, I have a whole podcast that we talked about this. It's such a time-consuming event, even though it seems that it's only just 1 hour that you're on the show talking to other designers, but it's the time of organizing designers and getting your notes put together and putting the show notes up. It's a whole lot of stuff that goes on. And so now I have wonderful designers, or not designers, but sponsors that support the show, which is, you know, such an honor to have that happen. And I try and keep it really professional and upbeat and PG-13. it's a lot of fun. I know. I love the podcast. I mean, originally I would get thrilled that if I'd get like 600 downloads. And now I average about 20,000 downloads a week.
That is amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I listened to your, you know, one of the best podcasts I think you've ever done, and you've done a lot. I'm not trying to say that, you know, but I listened to the podcast you did with John and Joss from Craftsy.com, and that was really an amazing one. It was even a little edgy, and I loved it. That must have been downloaded quite a bit. Did you ever find out how many times that ended up being downloaded?
I did. It's actually been downloaded 42,044 times, and it's in the number 2 spot for the most downloads.
What's the number 1?
That would be Deborah Norville, and she has been beat out with 48,959.
Wow. Those are big numbers to hang out there. Those are really big numbers to hang out there.
Yeah.
It'll be a while till I catch up with you, I think.
You know, I mean, those are off the chart numbers for me, and it's the guest that I had on, and I mean, Deborah Norville is amazing, just in and of herself, and then Craftsy, people really wanted to know, like, the mind behind Craftsy, the story behind Craftsy, and the personal touch. It's not just a big business kind of thing. There's real men and hard workers behind the whole company. And when I approached Josh and John about doing it, I was like, I want people to know about you guys and the company, and, you know, put a personal face on it. And so we did tackle tough issues, and I think it was a really, I loved the podcast. I thought it was really well done.
I agree. I mean, I think I called you or you called me about 10 minutes after it was over, and I was, you know, telling you how great it was. It was great. It was really great. And that was one you didn't do over the phone. You were all in a conference room together, right?
Yeah, I actually went to the Craftsy home office, and we sat in the conference room, which was awesome because you can see, you know, each other's facial expressions and see who wants to speak when, and it just became, it was kind of, I don't want to say intimate, but, you know, much more so than just over the phone.
Absolutely. And you get that sense where you don't run the risk of talking over somebody because you don't see the visual cues. That's got to be handy as well. But it was a great interview. I wanted to congratulate you on that again. And for folks, I will post a link for that on-demand episode. So if you missed it, it doesn't sound like many people missed it, but if you did miss it, you can catch it.
Hey.
All right. Yeah, well, no problem. Can you give us a teaser or who you're going to have on the show in the near future?
Well, you mentioned that you were a fill-in, and it was for Stephen West. And what happened there was, America, we had the daylight savings time adjustment, and because Stephen was in Amsterdam, it got our timing got mixed up, and that's what happened there. So Stephen will actually be on the air later on this month, and ironically, he's coming out here to do a crafty class, and so I get to be one-on-one with Stephen as well. So I'm excited about that. He'll be on the air later this month, and then I have Franklin Habit scheduled to come on the show soon. And, gosh, well, I mentioned Simona Merchant Desk and Hyena Goberstein. They both just did a book with interviews called The Art of Seamless Knitting, and so they're going to come on the show. Robin Chichula will be on the show to talk about her new book. Kristen Omzal, one of my best friends, is going to come on to talk about her brand new book, The Finer Edge. I don't know who else. I mean, I try and get as many guests on the show as I can find. And I listen to my listeners when they tell me that they want to listen to certain people. I try and as hard as I can to get them on the show as well.
That's great. That sounds like a great lineup. You know, I like to get into your chat room usually and heckle you while you're on the air. So
that's all right. I love it when you're in the chat room. I love people when they're in the chat room. And speaking of, if you're in the chat room here today, I'd like to give all of you guys a prize. If you're paying attention in the chat room, my color is purple in there, my text color, and I've given you instructions on how you can win one free pattern from my Ravelry pattern store. So check that out if you're in the chat room today. So you have to be in the chat room to win it.
So for those of you who tuned in not live, sorry, that one wasn't for you.
That's right. Sorry.
Let's move on to, you do so many things. And we talk about this amongst ourselves, but we never talk about it out to the world. And I think it's a really kind of important thing that we talk about, the personal side of what we do. Let's talk about the personal side of Marley Burr. Everything you do, podcasting, designing, running around teaching, doing craftsy classes, and somehow you're supposed to try to find a balance in your life, and you're trying to be a good wife and a good mom. And I'm terrible about finding balance. I think you're better at it than I am. Can you talk a bit about that?
I must be putting on a good facade because I struggle with the balance side. And like, as you said, you and I have talked about it. Gosh, it's hard. It's really hard. Originally, the whole knitting and crochet thing, it was such a small part of my everyday life. And it fit because my children were smaller. And so I want to say that they needed more of my time. Not that they don't need my time now, but do you know what I'm saying? It was more changing diapers and getting bottles ready and, doing all of that. So it was a good fit. But as my business grew and my kids grew, it became much more of a full-time job. So I am like a full-time designer. And finding the balance of taking care of your kids and being a good wife and doing the business is one of the hardest things I've done. It's not as hard as being a stay-at-home mom. I think that's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But doing this and balancing everything at the same time is very difficult. I tell everybody that you've just got to let some things go sometimes. I'm kind of a control freak, and I have a little OCD tendencies. And so when things aren't clean, I actually kind of freak out a little bit, but it's something that I've worked on over the last 5 years because I can't keep my house absolutely perfect and stay sane and do everything else I need to do. So when people say, I don't know how you do it all, I'm like, you just let the house go because you just kind of have to. You have to say, you know what, these dishes just are not going to get done today. And I'm lucky enough, though, now that my daughter's almost 11, and then I have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, they're able to help out more with chores, which is huge. And they understand that mommy's got to work so that I can make money so that I can, pay for football and soccer and volleyball and, gosh, you name it. I mean, they're in everything. And so I think that's very hard. I do
make a point of going out on a date night with my husband at least once a month. And I'm really lucky in that my babysitter, who I taught how to knit at the local yarn shop I used to teach at called Knit Knack here in Arvada, Colorado, I taught her and her mom how to knit. And so when she was 14, I said, you babysit. And so I kind of sucked her in. And so now she drives, and she's able to drive here, and she needs gas money. So she will text me at least once a month and say, when do you need me to babysit? So it's really convenient. So Lindsay kind of helps out my marriage because she makes a point of saying, hey, you need to go out because she needs money. So it works really well. But going out with my husband and going out with our friends is vital because you kind of have to have that time to reconnect with one another because it can be so overwhelming with everything, with his job and my job and the kids and the sports, and you can kind of forget about one another. So we reconnect that way and make sure that we, you know, at least tell each other what's going on in our lives. And there are times we go out and it still is just kind of hard to go out because, you know, we have all this other stuff going on. But even just going to Starbucks together and sitting next to one another and working, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's time that we're still together. Does that make sense?
It does, and it's something I should do better with myself.
Yeah, I mean, there's times that we've actually done that. It's just like we both have so much to do, but we need a babysitter. We need to kind of get out. So we'll just go. We'll sit together at Starbucks, have a coffee, talk and work and, you know, do the things we need to do. But, yeah, the balancing thing, man, it's hard. I mean, because I'm juggling so many things at one time. I mean, right now I'm editing a book, I'm writing a booklet, and I'm trying to put my house on the market, and I leave for Stitches on Thursday, and then I have my kids. They all started all their spring sports right now, so I have all of that going on all at the same time, and it's just like, I don't know if things settled down, if I would know what to do. I'm so used to this kind of hectic schedule that I think if things calmed down, I would get really bored and I would be looking for other things to take up my time.
Well, I also have trouble managing my recreational time. I think that I'm guilty of making sure that I schedule it out of my life, which is probably an obsessive compulsive thing as well. But I think you and I are a little bit alike on that, but not enough about me. So we're having a long show today. I don't know if you know this. Let's move through the next little bit here so I don't keep you on the show all day. You are the queen of cool. And you really, for me, make a lot of the ambience that is the Stitches show. And next week, we're going to be at Stitches South, and I know that you're always up to something. You'll have some surprises for us. So let's go through the list. So what are you doing in the market this time?
Well, I will be teaching a market session on Sunday afternoon. Saturday, I will be in the Bijou Basin Ranch booth helping them out with selling yarn and talking about patterns. And so come over there and I'll tell you all about Yak Yarn and Kiviet. They have Kiviet now. And I think that's it. That's all I'm doing in the market.
All right. Let's move on to Friday night, the fashion show. Do you have any designs that will be gracing the catwalk?
As far as I know, I think I have one coming from BBR, but, you know, sometimes some companies will put things out there that I don't know that they're putting them up there, so I'm not sure. So I will be just as surprised as some of you, but the fashion show is fantastic. Those of you that are going to any of the Stitches events, if you have not been to a fashion show or a fashion show dinner, it's a must. You have to do it. It's amazing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and then,
true.
Of course, one of the things that you're most well-known for is the hostess of the pajama party. So can you, for those of you who haven't been there, can you please tell our listeners a little bit about what the pajama party is?
Okay,
kind of controlled chaos.
Yeah. my approach for the pajama party, and what it is, it's Friday night after the fashion show dinner. You all go get your pajamas and your knitting or your crochet and come and you just get in one big room. And I approach it kind of like a baby shower or a bridal shower where you play games and win prizes, have food, have drink, have good time with your friends. So I have my wonderful entourage of Kristen Almdahl and Jeannie and Amy from Fiesta Yarns and Shannon from Cascade Yarns. And they all help me run these games through the night. And so we play games as a group, as individuals, and you win fantastic prizes from people who have donated prizes. And I just have a really good time doing it. It's a lot of fun.
It should be a lot of fun this time. We are in the same room as the fashion show was, so we have the stage and the catwalk if we want this time to play.
Awesome. So we're not. Are you going to get thrown out this time? Because now we have a room.
No,
so you aren't going to need me.
No. And someday okay. I'll tell people the story about where I got the Fiber Hooligan name, because that's the one we're
You'll
talking
have
about.
To.
Here.
You'll
it was
have
someday.
To. Yeah.
It's still too fresh. I can't go there right now. So.
Yeah. It's a load of fun. The whole PJ party. I mean, I was so honored when you asked me to host it the first time, and I just had such a good time. And I want to portray that to have other people have such a good time too. So I love it. I think it's great.
I do too. And you do a great job of it.
Thanks.
Well, before we wrap this up, because we should probably get wrapping up here. We've been on this now for a straight hour. It has just flown by. I cannot believe that. Before we wrap this up, is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners? They can be people that you've never heard of before. Can be anything you want to say.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you to those of you who have been with me literally from the very beginning and have seen my career go from absolutely nothing to where we are today, and all of your support and kind words. I want to say thank you to all of my wonderful supporters in the industry who have, you know, backed me up and supported me by buying my designs or saying, you know, passing my name on to other people. It's huge, and I get choked up when I talk about things that are near and dear to my heart. I'm so sorry. I am not a crier all the time, I promise. Especially you, Benjamin. You know how special you are to me, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Thank you. thanks to all of my students for making my classes awesome, because you guys are the best students ever. And when you couple that with the best teacher ever, of course, it's going to be a hoop roaring good time. And then if you have had a good time on today's show, make sure you join me on the Yarn Thing podcast, which airs every Tuesday at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, except tomorrow. I took tomorrow off, but you can follow along and get archived shows also. And you can check out my blog and my website at marleybird.com. And that's bird like the animal.
Well, thank you again for joining me this morning, Marley. You were wonderful as always, and I can't wait to give you a big hug in a couple of days.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I hope you all had a good time. I mean, we are talking about me. This is strange.
It's good. It's good. And I hope you'll come back on the show again.
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to.
Great. That was Marley Bird, designer, teacher, podcaster, entrepreneur, and all-around great person. Make sure you keep up with Marley by visiting her website, marleybird.com. That's one you're going to want to bookmark. Next week, I'm not going to do a live show. Instead, I have decided that I'm going to post a kind of compilation of on-the-spot interviews with designers, teachers, vendors, sponsors, and students from Students of the South. I'm sure Marley will probably end up being in there somewhere. Then on Sunday night, if I don't have technical problems, I'm going to edit all of that information into a podcast for the show on Monday that will air at the usual time. So this next week's podcast won't be a live show, but it still should be a lot of fun. In 2 weeks, I'll have the wonderful Drew Emborski, a.k.a. the Crochet Dude, on the show. And the week after that, I'll have one of the sweetest people in the world and a wonderful designer, Myra Wood, on the show. Why, you may ask, am I telling you all about who's coming up in 3 weeks? Well, there's a good reason, and I'm going to get to that right now. I've decided to run a very special contest. I am desperately seeking a guest co-hooligan. Yes, that is right. In 3 weeks, when Myra Wood is on the show, one of you could be my co-host for that show. So how does this work? If you're interested in being my co-hooligan for the show, please email me at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. You can send me an MP3. You can send me a little quick webcam video. Please keep it clean. You can send me a short essay. The important part is that you tell me why you want to be my co-hooligan. I'll go through all the entries in 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks, on April 22nd, slim down the entries to 3 finalists. Those finalists will be invited to join me on a closed podcast to audition for the job. By Friday, April 26th, I'll have chosen my co-host, and I will announce my co-host online on that Friday evening on the Naming Universe Facebook page. Please make sure you send me all of your contact information so I can get a hold of you in real time if you qualify as a finalist. Who is this contest open to? It is open to anybody. although I would ask that you are at least 18 years of age and that you have the ability to actually join me on that Monday morning as my co-host. If you win and can't make it because you're working, that would be really, really sad for all of us. Now the why. Why should you do this? Well, for one, it will be fun. I don't know, bragging rights? But being the realist I am, I know that every good contest has to have a kicker, and here's mine. The person that I select to be my co-host will also win a Stitches Works package for any Stitches event in 2013 or 14. That's a $695 value and includes 21 hours of classes, the opening day program, the teacher a la carte luncheon, the fashion show dinner, the student banquet and style show, and an all-access pass to the Stitches Market throughout the weekend.
Wow.
Sound good?
Yeah.
You can't enter, Marley. You can't enter, Marley. You have to teach so I can fulfill this. So, you have 2 weeks to get those entries in. If you missed any of that contest info or any of the links to Marley's podcast or website, please do not worry. I will make sure that all of the links and information go up on the show notes at fiberhooligan.com just as soon as I get a chance to put them up and post them, which I'm going to try to do before I leave for the show tomorrow. And with that, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember that the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with me. I'll see you next week on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.